My Life in Christ, Book 2, page, starting page 186. Lord, accept my tearful prayer for my spiritual children and for all Orthodox Christians who seek to please Thee, and receive it as my care for their salvation, as my pastoral care. Be to them Thyself in accordance with my prayer, both the voice and the trumpet, awakening them from their sinful sleep, the eye watching over their hearts, the hand guiding them in their journey to the heavenly country, and raising up those who fall through incredulity, faint-heartedness, and despondency. Be to them the motherly love in which I myself am so deficient, tenderly caring for their true welfare. Be all things to all, that some may be saved. 1 Corinthians. For Thou art in truth the one pastor, invisibly and secretly pastoring the souls of men. Thou art the one true and most wise teacher, speaking in the very hearts of Thy people. Thou art the one true lover of Thy creatures and children by grace. Thou art an abyss of wisdom and omnipotence. Thou alone art ever vigilant and unwavering, and teaches us Thy ways even during our sleep. Be then Thyself, Lord, instead of me, the pastor and teacher of Thy sheep, which Thou hast entrusted to me. Lead them Thyself to grassy pasture land. Guard them Thyself from spiritual carnal wolves. Guide Thou their feet into the way of truth, righteousness, and peace. Be unto them, instead of me, light, eyes, mouth, hands, and wisdom. But above all, be unto them the love in which I, a sinner, am so wanting. God is in the abyss of all blessings, of omniscience, great wisdom, omnipotence, grace, mercy, righteousness, and unchangeableness in good. But he that is joined unto the Lord through the prayer of faith and the works of love is one spirit with the Lord, and therefore he is filled according to the measure of his faith and love with wisdom and spiritual power. He receives from him, as from the true God, goodness, everything leading to salvation, and himself becomes merciful and compassionate to others, and is filled with spiritual wisdom, firmness, and the unchangeableness in faith and virtue. Thus, as God is the ever-flowing source, we have only to be united to him by lively faith and love unfeigned, in order to be filled with him with every spiritual blessing. Such union is possible always and in every place, if only our hearts are ever with him and not with the devil and the vanity of this world. This is why amongst righteous men we often find seers and prophets working miracles of divine omnipotence, love and mercy, steadfast, unchangeable in virtue, unto the laying down of their lives for the faith, out of love to God, and filled with spiritual wisdom of the saints, for the Lord their God is holy. If your heart and thoughts are in accordance with the ecumenical creed and with God's commandments, you will then unfailingly have close union and affinity with God, because God is a spiritual, thinking, personal being. But if your heart and thoughts consciously differ in any respect with the universal belief and commandments of God, or the words of the gospel, then your union with God is broken, and your heart enters into a destructive alliance with the enemy of truth and life, the devil. As the air of a room has no communications with the outer air because exhausted and filled with the multitude of foreign germs injurious to health and loses its vital quality, so likewise the soul, by withdrawing itself from God through any intentional doubt, unbelief, and iniquity, loses its vital quality and only lives a physical lower order of life as in order to refresh the air, in order to fill it with the vital germs. It is necessary to introduce outer air into the room, so likewise into the soul. This kind of air contained within our body, it is necessary to introduce by means of faith and love the life-giving breathing or blowing of the Divine Spirit, and then it will each time become quicker and will receive fresh powers of the faith and love. Each time becomes quickened and will receive fresh powers for faith and love. Every soul is quickened by the Holy Spirit. Sing the Church, Holy Church. For what is a man but a vessel filled with the breathing of God, or with his soul after the image and likeness of God? It is therefore necessary to change the air contained in this vessel, the more so because it is vitiated in us even from nature, from the very first causes of sin, and because further corrupted by our passions and lusts, and is often contaminated by the poisonous breathing of the devil. As the air of a room is identical with the outer air and proceeds from it, it is necessarily supposed as the existence of the outer air diffused everywhere, so likewise our soul, the breathing of God, supposes the existence of the everywhere present and all-filling Spirit of God. Such is the parallel between material and spiritual chambers. Know once for all that in the Church, in all her services, sacraments, and prayers, breathes the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of life and salvation, and that all those properties belong to the Holy Ghost alone. Holy thoughts or words of life and truth can be easily distinguished from thoughts and words of falsehood and death. The latter are anguish, disturbance, spiritual death. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans 8:6. As God is a thinking being, it is extremely easy to lose him from the heart, and it is equally easy to regain him in the heart by means of steadfast repentance. It is a wonderful thing when the heart is united by means of lively faith with the origin of life, the Holy Ghost. Then it is calm, it expands, and thought is free and bright. The tongue likewise is free and fluent. But as soon as a man mentally grudges his brother anything material, such as food or money, when he remembers any brother who seeks and needs food, then his heart is immediately struck with spiritual apoplexy, and becomes bound, oppressed. The mind also becomes bound in consequence of the affection of the heart, the source of thought, and is darkened. The tongue also, the circulation of the blood increases and flows to the head, and the whole man falls into troubles, falls into a troublous, abnormal state. Thus, our neglect of our brother's spiritual condition is deservedly punished. Thus, our attachment to material things is deservedly punished. Glory to thy righteousness, O Lord. The almighty power of God, existing and acting throughout the world, is concentrated similarly as the beams of the sun are concentrated in the focus or glass in the holy icons. The concentration of the power of God is particularly present in the reasonable image of the divinity man, especially in his heart, filled with faith, hope, and love, as in a focus. In a heart is reflected by its light the Sun of Righteousness, the Holy Trinity, our God. You may sometimes have seen how a human face is reflected in a broken mirror in a multitude of separate images according to the number of pieces in which the mirror was broken, or in every bubble of water, or in every drop of dew, and in the pupil of human eyes. If this is possible, and it is a common phenomenon in nature, then why should not we Christians allow numerous representations of one and the same face, say of the Lord, or of his holy, pure mother, or of a saint, and see in each image the Lord himself, or his most pure mother, or the saint, as we see in the mirror or in the pictures, numerous reflection of one and the same face, and reverence them with all the respect due to them? Does not nature herself teach us in some degree to imitate from her that which serves to our piety? During our prayer to God, to the most pure Mother of God, to the angels and the saints, we suppose them to be standing before us and listening to us, as is usually the case during the conversation of two or several persons standing face to face, face to each other. And it is so in reality. The Lord's countenance is ever before us. Likewise, Our Lady, with the angels and saints, are in the Lord God, always face to face with us, if only our hearts are turned to them. Our Lady, all the angels and saints, are as though in one house, one family. Our Lady, as the Mother of all, the holy angels and saints, as our elder and younger brethren, as in the family of a good father, all the children are ever with him, all love one another and care for each other. So also the angels and saints of the Heavenly Father are ever before his face, love one another and care for each other, the strong for the weak, the perfect for the imperfect. If you pray to the Lord or to Our Lady or to the angels and saints from your whole heart, then you speak to the very heart of the Lord or Our Lady, of the angel or saint, for we are all in the one heart of God, in the Holy Ghost, and all the saints are in the heart of God. Dwelleth in me, and I in him. St. John 6:56. When praying, believe firmly that the Lord is present in every word of the prayer, and that he is fulfillment of with the abundance of his gifts, warming and enlightening each one's soul according to the measure of each one's faith. Whatever you ask of every one of your petitions, both for yourself and everybody else. The enemy daily and violently persecutes my faith, hope, and love. Thou art persecuted my hope. Thou art persecuted my love. endure faith, endure hope, endure love. Take courage, faith. Take courage, hope. Take courage, love. God is your defender. Do not grow weak, faith. Do not grow weak, hope. And do not grow weak, love. Reverence in every way images of the living man, in order that you may duly reverence the image of God. For the image of the Lord Jesus Christ is the human image. He who does not respect the human image will not respect the image of God. Am I not everything to you? I am the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your life, your peace, your joy, and your blessedness, your riches, your meal and drink, your raiment, your all. To what then do you cling? Is it not to dust? What is it that you grudge me in the person of your neighbor? Is it not dust? Do you grudge it to me who has created all things, who can turn earth and stones into bread and can bring forth water from a rock? Be always with me and in me, and you shall be always at peace and joyful. Has your trust in me ever been in vain? Have I not always given you tranquility and new life? If you share your prosperity with your neighbor, if you have it in common with him, then all God's blessings will be in common with you. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. O mine are thine, and thine are mine. St. John 15, chapter 17, verse 17th, chapter 10th verse. When you forbid the devil in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in his name, the sweetest to us and the most terrible and grievous to the demons, itself creates power like the two-edged sword. Equally, if you ask anything of the Heavenly Father, or do anything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, then the Heavenly Father, for the sake of the name of his beloved Son, shall give you all things in the Holy Ghost, in the mysteries, if you fulfill his commandments, and will in no wise consider yourself unworthy, consider your unworthiness, or whatever the name of God is made use of with faith, there it creates power, for the very name of God is power. Some persons ask, what is the use of mentioning the names of the departed or living in prayer for them? God, being omniscient himself, knows their names and the needs of each one. But those who speak thus forget or do not know the importance of prayer, do not know the importance of every word said from the whole heart. They forget that the justice and mercy of God are moved to our heartfelt prayer, which the Lord in his goodness imputes to the merit of the living or the departed themselves, as to the members of one body of the church. They do not know that also the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, in her love continually prays to God for us, and expressly mentions before God the names of those who pray for them, equal for equal. We make mention of their names, and they of ours, whilst he who does not lovingly remember his brethren in prayer will not himself be remembered, and does not deserve to be mentioned. Even one word of faith and love means much in prayer. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we pray for the living and for the departed, mention them by name, we must pronounce these names lovingly and from the whole heart, as though we carried in our souls the persons whose names we mention, even as a nurse cherishes her children, remembering that they are our members and members of the Lord's body. It is not right to stand before God and merely run over their names with a tongue without the heart participation and love. We must remember that God sees into the heart, that the person for whom we pray also requires from us brotherly love and sympathy as a Christian duty. And there is a great difference between the apathetic repetition of names in their and their hearty remembrance. The one is as far from the other as heaven from the earth, but above all, the name of the Lord himself, that of his first pure mother and of those of the holy angels and saints, must always be pronounced from a pure heart with burning faith and love. In general, the words of the prayer must not be merely run over with tongue, as if we were turning over the leaves of a book or counting money. The water must flow like a stream of living water from its source. They should be sincere voice of the heart, not a strange, borrowed garment. Have the same attention and respect for the word as you have for the living man, and firmly believe that the word of God is quick and powerful as a living being, as an angel, and that by reason of its spiritual fineness, it is piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrows, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is God himself, and therefore when you speak, believe that you have to do with living and not with dead beings, with active and not with inert and powerless ones. Know that you should pronounce every word with faith and assurance. The words are living pearls. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine. During prayer, it is necessary, in the first place, that the object of the prayer should be definitely expressed, or at least that there should be a clear sense of it and desire for it in the heart. In the second place, it is necessary that this desire should be expressed with feeling and lively trust in the mercy of the Lord or of that of the Mother of God. In the third place, there must be a firm intention not to sin in future and to fulfill God's will in everything. Thou art made whole, sin no more, lest the worst thing come unto thee. St. John chapter 5, 14th verse. When you pray for anything, either to the Lord or the most pure Mother of God or to the angels and saints, ask their intercession before God for yourself or for others. Then consider the words expressing your petition, your needs, as the very thing, the very matter for which you ask the Lord. Believe that you have already a sure pledge of receiving the objects of your prayer, and the very words by which these objects are designated. For instance, when you pray for health for yourself or for someone else, look upon the word health as the very thing itself, as the very deed. Believe that you already have it by the mercy and omnipotence of God. But the word itself, the name, may in an instant become deed with the Lord, and you will unfailingly receive that which you ask for in return for your unshaken faith. Ask and it shall be given you. St. Matthew. What things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Do not pay attention to the darkness, fire, and distress proceeding from the enemy during prayer, and steadfastly trust with all your heart in the very words of the prayer, being assured that the treasures of the Holy Spirit are concealed in them. That is truth, light, life-giving fire, forgiveness of sins, expansion, peace, and joy of the heart, and blessedness. The great names, the most holy Trinity, or the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, called upon with lively, hearty faith and reverence or thought of the soul, our God Himself, and being into bring into our soul God Himself in three persons, but of God, and through Him, and to Him are all things. Therefore, if you are united to God, the Trinity, by lively faith and virtue, especially by meekness, humility, and mercy, ask of Him whatever you desire, whatever the Holy Ghost teaches you to ask, and it shall be given unto you, either quickly, in a moment, or in an hour, or after some time, according to the judgment of God's great wisdom. Desire of me, and I shall give thee. Everything that you ask for is certainly less, infinitely less than the giver himself, as it derives its existence from him. And as the giver himself is an infinite, incomplex being, and can in some matter be comprised in one single thought of ours, in one single word, then believe that one single word of yours, one single petition concerning the fulfillment of anything, can, at a sign from the Lord, immediately become a thing or a deed. He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Remember the wonders that Moses worked. Remember how that man of God was a God to Pharaoh, and how he instantaneously at his word, or at the movement of his hand, or his staff, everything either changed or appeared. O great God, most glorified God, God of wonders, God of unspeakable mercy, bountiful and love to man, glory to thee always, both now and ever, and forever, and unto the ages of ages. Amen. Spiritual pride manifests itself by the fact of a proud man dares to make himself a judge of religion and of the church, and says, I do not believe in this, and I do not acknowledge this. This I find superfluous, that unnecessary, and this strange or absurd. Spiritual pride also manifests itself in boastfulness, in the proud man's pretended knowledge of everything, whilst in reality he knows very little, for his spiritual eyes are entirely blind. That is not worth reading, he says. It is all well known. These sermons are not worth reading. They contain the same thing which I already know. Human pride also manifests itself in a great extent when an ordinary mortal dares to compare himself with God's saints, and does not see their great and wonderful perfections acquired by their own exploits with the assistance of grace of God, perfections which God Himself has crowned and glorified in them. Such a man says, why should I reverence them, and especially why should I pray to them? They are men like me. I pray to God alone. And he does not consider that God Himself commanded us to ask the prayers of the righteous for ourselves. For Him will I accept. Spiritual pride also manifests itself by insensibility to our sins, by the Pharisees' self-justification and self-praise, by insensibility of God's mercies, by ingratitude to God for all that is good, by not feeling the need of praising God's greatness. O those who do not pray to the Almighty God, to the God of all the spirits and of all flesh, to their life, do not pray by the reason of their secret pride. If when praying to the Mother of God, you do not find due reverence for her in your heart, and feel evil and blasphemous thoughts, then say the following words of praise, worthily applied to her. Thou, our Lady, art all light, all holiness, all mercy, all wisdom. Thou, as the Mother of the Almighty, canst do all things. Thou art ever one and the same, O perfect, as the Mother of the all perfect King of Glory. and belief betrays itself by the fact that it has nothing in common with truth. An unbelieving heart is restless, anxious, weak, inconsistent, whilst a believing one is, on the contrary, tranquil, blissful, great, and firm. When you pray to the Lord or to Our Lady or to the angels and saints, do not ascribe any difficulty to the Lord or to Our Lady or to the angels and saints in fulfilling your petitions or the petitions of other believers, but believe that it is as easy and simple for the Lord to give any blessing to His people, and equally so by prayers of His most pure Mother and the angels and the saints, as it is for you to think of it. Besides this, as God is ever-flowing infinite goodness, He desires and ever seeks to impart His goodness to His creatures, if only they turn to Him with faith, hope, and love, like children to their Father, recognizing their sinfulness, poverty, need, blindness, and infirmity without Him. When you pray to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, to the one God and Trinity, do not seek Him outside yourself, but contemplate Him within, as dwelling in you, entirely penetrating and knowing you. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And if you walk among, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and will be a Father unto you. O Lord, Thou hast searched me out and know me, says David. When during prayer you doubt any possibility of the fulfillment of any of your petitions, then remember that to God it is possible to give you all things, excepting direct evil, which is only proper to the devil, that the world itself, or your petition itself concerning anything, is already a sure guarantee of on your part that its fulfillment is possible. For if you can only think of something, either possible or impossible to yourself, then this something is absolutely possible to the Lord, to whom this thought is already deed, if He pleases to fulfill it. Even your For yourself, the blessing already exists in the word, and only does not exist in the deed, but in order to fulfill a petition, God has the Son, the Creator, and the Holy Spirit, the Accomplisher. To the possibility of accomplishing all things, add His infinite mercy, by which He is the ever-flowing source of being, as well as of all the gifts of being. He is God of gifts, the God of mercy and bounties. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. St. Matthew 7, chapter 7th verse. Add to this God's great wisdom, by which in bestowing gifts upon us, He chooses that which is best for us, and which corresponds to our spiritual and bodily state. On your part is required only firm, undoubting assurance of the possibility of Lord's fulfillment of your petition, and also that your prayer should absolutely be good for good, and not for anything evil. Your Father, which is in heaven, it is said, shall give good things to them that ask Him. St. Matthew 7, chapter 11, verse. Amen.